afternoon. Hey, welcome in. Happy Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing today?
Holla at your boy.
Oh, yeah, there's Jeff Russ. Jeff Russ is in the building. I don't know if people know, that's a drop that Russ plays every time he says holla at your boy. He just did it one time, and he's just been hitting that drop ever since. You don't say it, you never say it.
Nope, not anymore. Not don't even, need to. You got it right there in the system.
Nailed the first take, and he's done.
Yeah, that's it. I'm out.
He's done.
Went full like Dan Marino. Yeah. We good? Yeah, no, we're good here. Yeah. Cut, roll.
Good. Yeah, I'm a blackjack dealer. Done. I'm out.
Done.
For those who've never seen that clip, it is one of the best behind-the-scenes clips of a commercial shoot that exists.
The Isotoners
yes.
gloves?
Where he's like, yeah. No, you're good. You got it. One take. It's all you need.
Dan Marino. People always say, why does Dan Marino get the credit he deserves?
Because he's a giant a-hole.
Jerk to, like, everybody. You know? Like, you know, some people, they don't play the game. And look, that's more power to you. Like, Dan Marino, he does not get the credit he deserves of how good he was, how ahead of his time he was throwing the football.
Oh, that guy in another generation.
Oh,
good Lord.
Goodness gracious. Dan Marino was incredible.
You'd think he'd be nicer with those nice, toasty, warm hands and those gloves.
Oh, the guy who played in Miami?
Yeah. Were
somebody was like, you went to college in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Western PA.
Where you could really slang some Isotoners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get him a glove endorsement for that South Bay.
Miami.
Hey, look, man, back in the day.
When it's 55 out?
You just had to get your spokesman.
You did.
It didn't matter. We're like, hey, even if he is in Miami, everybody knew who Dan Marino was.
Yeah.
Shout out monoculture.
Which, that leads me to something I saw today. I saw the highest paid NBA players. When you take their salary and their endorsements, you add them together.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. LeBron James, for the first time in 11 years, is not the highest paid player in the NBA.
Steph pass him up?
Steph Curry is number one. His $55.8 million salary with his 100 million endorsements pushing him over the edge. LeBron is two. Mm-hmm. He's only making 48.7. What a bum.
Yeah, the Steph one
That's
is.
All. God.
Steph also has.
How's he supposed to feed his family?
I don't know.
Steph has full control of Under Armour basketball.
Yeah. All right, well,
like that's like part of his contract too. It's pretty.
Let's not feel bad for LeBron and his $1 billion lifetime deal he has with Nike.
Yeah.
Not even supposed to be here. Just a kid from Akron.
Just a kid from Akron. Giannis is third, at $103 million.
That'll buy you a lot of euros.
Yeah, that will. That goes a long way in Greece.
Oh my God, that lira exchange rate, woo, yeah. Buddy.
Then Kevin Durant is fourth. And Damian Lillard is fifth.
That's like the understated thing about Dame not being here. I don't think people truly realize the level of Dame's endorsement and recognition, not only like locally and nationally, but globally. Dame is a literal global star.
Yeah, he only has $18 million in endorsements, though.
Well,
that's a lot from what? Modelo and Adidas, and there's a watch, right?
No more State Farm.
No, he has more than 18 million in endorsements. That's not right.
Well, I'm just looking at the data that I have here, which says from Sportico, 18 million this year in endorsements.
There's missing there. That's interesting. I wonder what they're calculating there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he has the same number endorsement-wise as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Which, you see Shai in a lot of things outside of what a pro wants?
No.
Meanwhile,
no. Well, thank God we don't see that anymore either.
Dame's doing Gatorade, Modelo, Tissot.
Look, Adidas. I don't know. I'm just going off of what is here.
Yeah, no, it's weird.
Yeah. By the way, it's a substantial drop-off from Kevin Durant to Damian Lillard. KD is $97.9 million salary and endorsements. Dame, 66.8.
Yeah, I feel like this
66.8. That's pretty good.
I wonder, is Adidas stuff probably not out there?
Embiid and Jokic both are tied for sixth.
Well, Embiid got the Skechers money.
They make 51.4 in salary, $8 million annually in endorsements by those two.
How Jokic hasn't done a Taco Bell endorsement yet is still insane.
Yeah, sure.
For those that are unaware, Jokic was drafted during a Taco Bell Quesarito commercial.
But here's my question. Davante Adams, my wife asked me last night, does Davante Adams really have a Taco Bell in his house?
I was like, what?
No, he doesn't have an actual Taco Bell in his house.
He did.
That's a ridiculous thing to say. Here's my question about this list, though. Like, most of it, I was sitting there, I was like, yeah, that all makes sense. Who is paying Bradley Beal $7.5 million for endorsements? Bradley Beal is ninth in the NBA, equal to Paul George in salary and endorsement monies, according to Sportico. He makes 50.2 in salary, $7.5 million in endorsements.
He's got Tissot and Pepsi, but
I've never seen him in a commercial for either one of those things.
He did Pepsi like 5 years ago.
To be fair, Bradley Beal is one of those borderline quote unquote superstars where, like, I enjoy the NBA. I'm not the biggest, hugest, you know, hardcore fan.
Yeah.
But he is still one of those where, like, he might be able to hold a neon sign saying, I'm Bradley Beal, and I'd still be like, I don't know who that is.
Like everybody else on this list, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. This makes sense. Even Kawhi Leonard, right? Kawhi Leonard, he makes the same amount as Bradley Beal in endorsements, $7.5 million. But he also is like the face of NBA shoes for New Balance. Well, for now.
Mm-hmm.
But Kawhi Leonard has, and Bradley Beal doesn't have a signature shoe. He's a Nike athlete. But he doesn't have a signature shoe with Nike. Yeah.
That's that good Kawhi laugh.
Is Bradley Beal maybe in Pepsi commercials? And to Russ's point, we just don't know.
He did do Pepsi commercials like 5-6 years ago.
He's driving a car in the Pepsi commercial, and we're like, oh, that's Bradley Beal. I don't know where that comes from.
I'm not like, hey, that's Bradley Beal. I have no idea who it is.
Yeah, somebody is, though. Somebody is. Yeah, he makes $7.5 million in endorsements. It's a good deal, man. And that's when you go, NIL money in college has jumped the shark. It's endorsements. Take a look. I present to you Bradley Beal making $7.5 million. Companies will justify paying an endorsement fee to an athlete of any kind. All right? So the $200,000 in NIL money, not that big of a deal, folks.
Yeah. I'm looking through his book here, and almost all of it is NBA adjacent, like TV spots for like League Pass and stuff like that, because it charts like when he appears on stuff. Ooh. So he hasn't done any commercials in a while.
So is the NBA laundering money? The NBA paying its players to do their commercials?
They are trying to get back into China.
You know, that is a good question. I don't know if that, I would imagine that is not fall under purview of like media responsibilities. I think if you do those national ads, you do get something.
You
got to
get some cash for it.
So
these players are in the pocket of the NBA.
I mean, yeah. Oh, I wonder if it's that or if they pay it out to, that's a good question. I think maybe they pay it out to the players union. And then they just have like a representative group that kind of gets cycled through.
Mm. Okay.
That's how I think it would go, but I could be wrong. That's a question I'm going to have to ask.
Here's a good point on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online, vancouverford.com. SGA's endorsements are probably mostly Canadian things, so they're, you know, not as valuable as the American ones. But that's a funny joke at the end there. But he probably does have some, you know, Tim Hortons.
Converse. Kokanee. I know he's their lead guy.
Nice.
Canada Goose.
Mm. Yeah, see, there you go. Is he
AT&T?
Canadian Mist. Remember Canadian Mist?
I don't remember that.
What, the whiskey?
No. It was like sparkling water.
You mean Clearly Canadian?
No, I don't know. I thought it was Canadian Mist.
I think you mean Clearly Canadian. Canadian Mist, I believe, is like a whiskey liqueur.
Never mind.
Yeah. Clearly Canadian you're talking about, which, by the way, they still make.
Oh, really?
You can find it at the old Fred Meyer or the Center of Quality Foods.
Mm, well, yeah.
They do it in both the glass bottles and now like the tall, skinny cans.
That's exactly what I'm thinking here. Clearly Canadian. Yeah. Obviously, I have grown with my... with my palate here from clearly Canadian to Canadian Mist.
Yeah, we just had some in our fridge last week.
Whiskey.
Even.
Oh, Clearly Canadian or Canadian Mist?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. The Clearly
Do
Canadian.
Do you mix them?
I'm not a whiskey man.
Do you mix them? I feel like, and I've long had this thought in my brain, because that Clearly Canadian was the first, like, the cherry flavored.
It was always a good find at Costco. It's like the only place you could find it.
I feel like people were indoctrinated to like White Claw Black Cherry by having the Clearly Canadian as a kid. You're like, oh, yeah, I get down with this.
I think they have a strawberry and a peach and like a mountain blackberry.
Yeah, those are all of the flavors that I'm seeing right here, Rust. There you're good.
Go. Yeah.
You know you're Clearly Canadian.
I sure as hell do.
That's for dang sure. A 12-pack, $41?
It's not... Okay, well, that's kind of ridiculous. You'll find it... You can buy it, like, in the single bottle for probably $2.29 or so. And I think a 4-pack of the bottles for, like, $6-ish, $7 maybe.
Wow.
Somewhere in the $6 to $8 range for a 4-pack.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, $41 for 12. Right. That's aggressive.
That's aggressive right there. I don't want that.
I have now submitted my questions with regard to whether or not guys get paid and how they get paid to a couple NBA agents.
Okay.
Because that's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a very specific thing, but I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
So.
Well, there we go.
We'll get some answer on it.
Speaking of commercials, I'm sick of election commercials. Can we get done with this?
Which ones? Oh, God. You know what I find?
Can we end this?
I said this on Twitter the other day.
Oh, my God.
The thing that I find out about during all these commercials, every one of these politicians is terrible.
Yeah.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I've made no qualms about it. I don't care if you're right. I don't care if you're left. I don't care if you're center. I hate all of you.
Ooh,
I hate all the commercials.
I hate the politicians. I don't like all of them are terrible people.
You're just like, okay.
Like it is.
Well, I'm getting tired of the NFL Network and their Sunday morning games and like the Jesus Gets Us commercials too. No, thank you.
Yeah,
they can go right the hell out in the trash with all the political ads too.
Okay,
gotta all buy the ad space.
Lazine here on the old YouTube chat, in the vein of the Clearly Canadian. Also, remember the New York Seltzers?
No.
Ooh, I'm going to have to Google. Sounds familiar.
Little Silver short, can. Stubby.
Yeah,
little short, stubby bottles.
Stubby bottles?
Yes, stubby bottles. Ooh. Screw top bottles that you could also find at the old Coscolito.
Right, oh, see okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the cream.
Cream soda. They had cream root soda beer, the blueberry really one. Yeah. They also they sell those at the Little Apple in Manzanita.
Well, look at that. That's exactly where that, when I think of New York Seltzers, I think of that little grocery store right there on the main strip in Manzanita.
Yep.
All right. Well, look at that. Going down memory lane. All these little sparkling sodas. Yeah, they have black cherry New York Seltzer too.
Ooh,
mm-hmm. See? That's where they're getting us.
Yep.
That's why we have those in the claw, right? It's because it's an original flavor. Of the old seltzers that we used to have back in the day.
Why do all the variety packs come with crappy flavors?
Because somebody likes them.
But it's like,
you know?
Every time you get a variety pack, you're like, ooh, it doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, that one's good. Oh, that one's good. That one's okay. And then there's like, oh, that one
what's
sucks.
Nice about the old, the White Claw is they have several different variety packs.
Yeah.
And there is like a single variety pack that has like, there's not one of them that is a trasher. A throwaway. They're all good. I forget which one it is.
Yeah, I think it's number three.
Ooh, and also back to old school beverages.
Mm-hmm.
We found in the Capri Sun style pouches, the Kool-Aid, Sharkleberry Finn.
I don't remember that.
No. Don't remember that.
Am I the only one?
Yeah.
There's going to be people who are like, yes!
Yeah.
The text line and the YouTube chat are going to blow up with that.
Well, the text line is very much excited about the old Zima commercials.
Yeah. Zima. They remember when Zima made a comeback, and then they were like, oh, wait, we now realize why Zima didn't work.
Yeah, well, it's because you had to put a Jolly Rancher in there.
But on the question of variety packs and having one bad flavor, like that's like when you got the Starburst, right? Like,
there's no bad Starburst.
Orange is not good.
Wow. Orange is not good.
Orange is not good. But
that's why you go for the favorite
reds. You are the person where you open up the Starburst, and you're like, what color do you want? You would be like, I'll take the orange.
No, I mean, I actively want red, but there's no bad Starburst.
Yeah. My power rankings are pink, yellow, red, orange.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah. Pink, yellow, red,
see,
orange.
I like the Favor Red pack that is just
all red.
Just the cherry and strawberry.
See, the thing is, like, there's not a bad Starburst. There are like,
I don't know. I don't like the orange.
Actively don't like it.
I don't like the orange.
Well, I mean, like, I'll eat it if it's there. I mean, I'll eat
well,
it,
yeah.
But,
I
mean,
but I'm saying
I'm not gonna
I don't like
seek
the
it out.
Well, like the Doritos bags. Like it's like you get like the nacho cheese and the cool ranch and like and then this like then there's like the baked Lay's and you're like, why is that thrown? Like it's not even the same family.
Cool. Somebody likes the Lay's.
But I'm saying,
but this is the problem.
They're not,
is like,
they're not the same family.
Cool ranch overrated.
You
know what I mean?
Like, you're 100%. But this is the thing about having those variety packs.
In there.
Why is it like in the variety pack though? Sometimes you'll be like, there's 8 bags of Lay's and only 4
2
of
cool ranch.
Not,
you're like,
oh no,
nacho,
no. Usually 6. It's like, yeah, 8 Dorito or 8 nacho cheese Doritos, 8 cool ranch, and they'll get like 4 barbecues and like 2 sour cream and onion. It's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I mean, I want more of the sour cream and onion.
Yes.
Everyone
the,
does.
That's the number one all timer right there is the sour cream and onion.
Nobody wants the original Lay.
No.
Nobody wants the original Lay.
I like a good Lay.
I mean, well, not potato chips wise. All right, we're solving the world's problems.
Yeah.
One Lay at a time.
Sherry's is dead. We talked about that at the end of the show yesterday.
Apparently, I think only in Oregon, though. Apparently, there's still one kicking in, like, in the Couve.
Oh, so this is going to be like...
They closed the Oregon locations.
Mm. This is going to be like Blockbuster Video all
also,
over
again. Didn't realize it was a Beaverton-based
chain. Yeah, Beaverton-based restaurant, yeah.
Didn't know that.
Indeed.
R.I.P. Sherry's.
Look, Sherry's was great. We all had a soft spot for that, but let's be honest. I could barely make it home from there before I had to like take care of some things.
No, man,
we'll
look
that way.
When the restaurants kind of opened back up post COVID, there's the Sherry's in Newburgh, and that was like one of the few places that I would get
4 blocks from your house.
Like 7.
Okay.
So it's a little, it's right
a
on
little
the, it's
further
right,
out than everything
it's
else.
It's right on the edge of town, like right when you come into town.
I know where that is.
Yeah.
Sherry's was...
comfort food.
Well, no. That's where after like football games or basketball games in high school, that's where you could go and it was open late and you'd, you know, pick up on chicks. There was nothing open 24 hours.
I was a theater kid, and after our plays, that's where we'd go and so, have some milkshakes and french fries and such.
See? Shout out to Sherry's for helping the high school kids pick up chicks.
Okay, first of all...
More dudes.
Back to the variety packs. Everybody's
okay.
You have to put the bad one in there, otherwise the warehouse would fill up with a bad one. Stop making the bad one.
That's a good point.
That's an alternative option.
That's a good point.
Well, but look, everybody's got their own kink.
Good point. Yeah, well, and that's why they're in there.
See, well,
right?
Here's the thing.
Grandpa is going to be at the family barbecue. He's going to want
Lay's.
Some Lay's.
Here's the thing.
You know?
Everybody who says, like, well, you know, the original is the best seller. It's like, well, yeah, the one they've been producing for 100
years. So is vanilla
years.
Ice cream.
Exactly. It's like, but.
So is Jay Leno.
All right, I'm going to die on this hill. Vanilla ice cream and Fritos. Elite combination.
I'm not going to push back on this because the whole salty sweet thing I'm down with, but I still haven't done it.
Yeah, you need to do it.
I mean, I've done the French fry and Frosty.
I was going to say, that's the furthest I go is the French fry and the Frosty.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing, but add a little crispness to it.
Which
it's so
I think
good.
I'm okay with.
It's good.
Yeah, I could get down with that.
Yeah, I mean that. There's a few things that I picked up from Old Man Hera that will last the test of time. Mm. Vanilla ice cream and Fritos are one of them. He's the same man that likes Boston baked beans and Good and Plenty. So, you know, like he loves jujubes.
The texture of a Good and Plenty
jujubes,
like chewing the outside candy of it off of it,
just
and
awful.
And then slowly getting to the licorice bite in the middle.
No, awful.
I don't know why I associate that with my childhood.
If you like
probably
black licorice,
parents,
I judge you.
I don't like. Here's the thing. I don't like black licorice.
I'll mess with the Good and Plenty every now and then.
Like, there's something about that combo that works.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because otherwise I'm like, ugh, black licorice. Yeah. Weird.
It's terrible.
Isn't it weird that licorice started as black licorice and then it went into the other flavors?
Well, yeah, because they realized this stuff sucks.
Yeah.
We need to make it better somehow.
And
like,
they like,
changed the entire flavor of it.
See, they went, not like tangential, they went, what can we do with this that doesn't suck?
That's right.
Pretty impressive.
There was it came in like a green box too. This is another Old Man Hera that I picked up. It was like a mint cookie. They were like Thin Mints, but they were a little bit thicker. Spacing on the name.
Were you talking to like the Keebler Grasshoppers?
Well, kind of. Yes, kind of. But it was its own brand. Came in a big green package. But they're like Thin Mints, right?
Gotcha.
Freezers. Only freezer, right? Yeah. That's another one.
That'll bare minimum the refrigerator.
Yeah. You put those in the freezer, they're delicious every time.
Okay.
But the Frito-Lays in vanilla
this
ice cream
is serial killer behavior.
Is something I'll do.
I used to do a version of a root beer float. Vancouver Ford text line, not me. I would use peppermint ice cream and Mountain Dew.
Huh.
That's a lot going on. Number one, I hate mint ice cream. So
well, I love mint ice cream.
I like peppermint ice cream, too. I'm trying to think
the good old green chocolate chip mint.
Ugh. I'm trying to think of what that flavor would be. It doesn't sound great.
Flavor would be. It's called awful.
Do you remember when you were a kid and you would grab the fountain soda and you would do like every flavor?
Oh, the graveyard. The suicide.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We called it the graveyard.
Either
one? Yeah.
That's what this sounds like, the ice cream version of that.
You know, okay. Here's what I think I think the taste of that and what it probably is. I think that is probably, remember like when you'd have like the Halloween party at school and they would have like, I don't know what the 7-Up, but then they put like rainbow sherbet ice cream in it.
That was a banger.
Yeah.
That was a banger.
Just,
I'm thinking that is what the peppermint ice cream Mountain Dew combo kind of tastes like there. I think that's probably the closest thing that I could go with of what it would taste like. Yeah, and when you say the old school punch, again, something we learned when we were children, and then we grew up, we go to college, and we just turn that into Everclear, and it's jungle juice later down the road.
Then it's called the pink panty pull down. Wait, what?
Okay. all right.
That's what we called it.
Okay. Whoa.
Or what they called it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yes, but no.